This book is for my children, Christopher, Alex, Zach, Hannah. Chapter 1. Hawk was stretched out on the couch in my office, where I sometimes thought he had been since right after the Puritans had arrived. He was wearing black exercise pants, Hoka sneakers with more colors in them than the pride flag, and a Caitlin Clark t-shirt. When I'd asked him about the t-shirt, he'd said, "Just by way of showing solidarity with that bad, bad girl." The book he was currently reading, The Wingmen, about the friendship between Ted Williams and John Glenn, was currently closed and bookmarked across Caitlin Clark's number 22. I'd long since accepted the fact that Hawk, when the spirit moved him, viewed my office as his personal reading room. Out of friendship, I felt it more flattering than calling him a squatter. I pointed at his book now and said, "You don't even like baseball."
"Not reading it for the baseball shit, reading it for the war shit," he said. "I always thought I would have been the ass as a fighter pilot."
"You're assuming the Marines would have gotten past your rap sheet," I said.
"Only if they wanted to win," Hawk said.
I sipped more coffee from the temperature-controlled mug Susan Silverman had bought for me, having figured out just this morning how to keep the coaster charged and already knowing that I probably wouldn't stay with it for the long haul. When I'd phoned to tell her that I finally did have it working the way it was supposed to, I'd also mentioned that it was a good thing since I liked my coffee the way I liked my women, hot. Susan had said, "The 21st century just called, big boy. They're still holding a table for you." I didn't get the chance to ask what she was wearing, as I so often did, because she'd already ended the call. To Hawk, now I said, "You're at least aware that Ted Williams was considered the greatest hitter of all time, right?"
"Only reason I am," he said, "is on account of it having sunk in after the first 1,000 damn times you told me."
"They called him the Splendid Splinter, you know," I said, "also the Thumper and Teddy Ballgame." Hawk turned slightly toward me on the couch, his eyes looking so hooded I thought he might be on the verge of a nap, even though it was only mid-morning. But he'd pointed out on more than one occasion that baseball talk from me often acted as a powerful sedative for him.
"And down the rabbit hole we go," he said.
I had finally given in to peer pressure from him, even though Hawk constantly told me he had no peers, and purchased a longer couch, mostly so his feet no longer had to hang over the edge when he was reclining the way he was now. To my way of thinking, that made me at least as good a wingman as either Ted Williams or John Glenn had been. In my dreams, a larger couch also might be more functional in the future if I could ever again talk Susan into us using it for a midday flight of heavenly transport. Or a reasonable facsimile thereof. I had been slowly making my way through the globe while Hawk had been reading his book. I still liked having a newspaper in my hands, but then I was someone who considered texting to be the devil's handiwork. I looked over at Hawk, whose eyes now seemed to be all the way shut, and felt myself smiling at my own wingman as I did, thinking about all the wars the two of us had fought together. In almost the same moment, he turned back to me as if reading my mind, and we'd already begun our next conversation. He could do that with alarming ease, much the way Susan Silverman could. It was concerning to me, if only because it chipped away at my notion of being a man of mystery.
"How long you figure we've been doing this, you and me?" he asked.
"By this," I said, "I assume you're referring to us doing our own patriotic bit to make the country a better and safer place." Hawk smiled then, the smile coming up and out of him slowly and finally brilliantly, the way the sun did when it came up over the harbor.